I've been dealing with people asking me a lot of why questions lately. Some of them very serious why questions. If you haven't been asking why questions, okay, maybe you're young, I don't know. But eventually we all ask the why questions. Why is this happening to me? A man dying from cancer a few weeks ago said to me, why? You know, I've lived a pretty good life. He's not that old. Why is he dying from cancer and people who have done terrible, awful things aren't dying from cancer? Somebody else spent my whole life preparing for this or that, right? It looks like the door is being closed. Why? Feel like I've been, somebody else felt like they were standing on faith in the Lord for healing. The healing is not there. Why? Why when we, people are asking the why questions here lately. And they're tough questions. They're tough questions. In the book of Numbers, in today's Parsha, today's Torah portion, we also have why questions. First, let me set the stage. So Israel miraculously comes out of Egypt, miraculously makes it through the wilderness. They're fed miraculously, they're watered miraculously. They come to the land that God has promised them, and Moses sends in 12 spies. I'm going to start Numbers 13, verse 25. The spies returned from investigating the land after 40 days. They traveled and returned to Moses and Aaron and the entire community of Bnei Israel, the children of Israel, at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They gave their report to them and the entire assembly. They showed the land's fruit. It's beautiful fruit. They had picked a cluster of grapes that was so big they had to carry it on a pole between two guys holding it on their shoulders. Just, it's a beautiful land. They gave their account to them and said, we went into the land where you sent us. Indeed, it is flowing with milk and honey. This is some of its fruit. Except the people living in the land are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the sons of Anak there, apparently very tall men, almost like giants. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites are living in the mountains, and the Canaanites are living near the sea and along the bank of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should definitely go up and capture the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone with him said, we cannot attack these people because they are stronger than we are. They spread among Bnei Israel, the sons of Israel, a bad report about the land they explored, saying, the land through which we passed to explore devours its residents. All the people we saw there are men of great size. We also saw the Nephilim, the giants. The sons of Anak are from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our eyes as well as theirs. And what happens? They start asking the why questions. Why? All through that night, the entire community raised up their voices. The people wept. All Bnei Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole community said, if only we had died in Egypt, if only we had died in the wilderness, why is Adonai bringing us to this land to fall by the sword? There it is, that why question. Our wives and children will be like plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? They said to each other, let's choose a leader and let's go back to Egypt. They're ready to overthrow Moses. Okay, let's get a new leader and let's go back. These people are scared for their lives, they're scared for their wives, and they're scared for their children. Okay, I'm going to be killed, my wife is going to become the wife of another man, my children will be slaves. These people are afraid. Okay, why is it that Joshua and Caleb saw the same things in that land as the 10 other spies, and they were able to come back and say, let's go up and take it, and yet the 10 other spies said, no, we can't do this. They're stronger than we are. The answer to that is obvious, right? Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, Numbers 14:6 and following, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes. They said to the whole assembly of Bnei Israel, "The land through which we pass is an exceptionally good land. If Adonai is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land and will give it to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Only don't rebel against Adonai, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They will be food for us. The protection over them is gone. Adonai is with us. Do not fear them." I want to teach you a little Hebrew, okay? First word you know. Everyone say Adonai.
Adonai.
Itanu.
Itanu.
It means Adonai is with us. The Lord is with us. Let's say it again. Adonai itanu.
Adonai.
One more time. Adonai itanu. The Lord is with us. That is the only difference between those who said, we can go up and we can take the land, and those who said, let's get a new leader and head back to Israel, is that those who said we can take the land remembered, Adonai itanu. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. And sometimes outsiders see it more than we see it. Okay, today's Haftorah portion, the portion from the prophets, is Joshua chapter 2. And this is when Joshua and so let me set the stage here. In today's Torah portion, under Moses, they go up to take the land. They can't do it. They're afraid. God turns them back into the wilderness. They wander the wilderness for 40 years. Then Moses dies after that 40 years. Joshua brings them across the Jordan into the land of Egypt. And the first city they come to is what? Jericho. Very good. Okay. And in Jericho, they meet Rahab. This time, Joshua just sends in two spies. Okay. I think that's pretty smart, right? So forget the 10 that are going to spread a bad report. Let's just send two that'll give us a good report. So Joshua sends in two spies, and they go to Rahab's house, and she hides them. And she said to the men, just like we read today, "I know that Adonai has given you the land. Dread of you has fallen on us and all the inhabitants of the land, and are melting in fear before you. For we have heard how Adonai dried up the water of the Sea of Reeds before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard about it, our hearts melted, and no spirit remained any more in anyone because of you. For Adonai, your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." Jericho knows that God is with Israel, sometimes more than Israel knows it themselves. They don't understand half the time how much it means that God is with them. The enemy sees it, okay, and the enemy's hoping we don't see it. Right? But it's true, and we need to see it. We need our eyes opened, like Rahab's eyes were opened, like our enemies in Jericho, their eyes were opened. They saw God is with us. God is, and God makes the enemy shudder in fear. So why are we always the fearful ones? Because we've forgotten Adonai Itanu. We've forgotten that the Lord is with us and what that means. Okay? One of my favorite stories is in 2 Kings chapter 6. And let me set up the stage here. Elisha is a wonderful, anointed prophet of the Lord. He hears the Lord directly. He works miracles. He brings healing, even raises the dead by the power of the Lord. And the king of Aram is an enemy of Israel, and he sends raiding parties into Israel and plans attacks upon Israel. But Elisha knows, because the Lord reveals to him what the king of Aram is going to do, and so Elisha sends word to the king, don't go here, don't go there, Aram's going to attack. And so the king of Aram thinks there's a spy in his midst. How does the king of Israel always know what I'm going to do or not do And he thinks there's a spy in his midst. The king of Aram summoned his officers and said to them, "Tell me which one of us is on the king of Israel's side." Who's a spy here? But one of his officers said, "No, my lord the king. Rather, Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, keeps telling the king of Israel the very words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go see where he is, so I may send and seize him." Then it was reported to the king, "Behold, he is in Dothan." So he sent horses, chariots, and a great army there. They arrived at night and surrounded the city. They surrounded the city where Elisha was. Now when the attendant of the man of God, Elisha's servant, had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was surrounding the city. So his attendant said to him, "Alas, my master, what are we going to do?" Imagine that. You just go out for whatever reason, whatever you do in the morning, to brush his teeth or whatever he has to do. And he looks up, and there's this great army. This is not a soldier. This man is a servant of a prophet. He looks up, he sees this great army. There's fear in his heart. "Fear not," Elisha replied, "for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "Adonai, please open his eyes that he may see." Then Adonai opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The host of the armies of heaven were surrounding them, protecting them. And the difference between fear and not fear is to have the eyes opened to see that God is with us. Adonai Itanu. God is with us, and he is greater than the enemy. Luke 8:22-25. Now on one of those days, Yeshua and his disciples got into a boat, and he said to them, "Let's move to the other side of the lake." So they set out. Then as they were sailing, he, Yeshua, Jesus, fell asleep. A violent windstorm came down on the lake, and they were swamped with water and in danger. They came to Yeshua and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we're perishing." He got up and rebuked the wind and the surging wave of water. Then they stopped, and it became calm. Then Yeshua said to them, "Where is your faith?" But they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." And many of us are going through the winds and the water, right? Let's not, we are. I've been getting your phone calls and your emails and dealing with some things myself. We are dealing with the winds and the waves, and we forget who's in the boat with us. Adonai Itanu, the Lord is with us in the boat, right? The armies of heaven are surrounding us when that army's coming against us. Even Jericho sees it. They hope we don't, right? The enemy hopes we don't see it. We need to have our eyes open like the disciples' eyes were open to who was in the boat with them. Where is your faith? Don't you know who's in the boat with you? Don't you know who's in the boat with you? Yeshua is in the boat with you to calm the waves, and it may not happen the way you want or when you want, but remember who is in the boat with you. The Lord is in the boat with you, okay? The Lord is in the boat with you. The Lord is surrounding you with the host of heaven. The Lord is drying up the rivers before you so you can take the promised land. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid. And the disciples, I'm telling you, they got it eventually, but not right away. Okay, even after the resurrection, they didn't quite get it yet. They were walking with Yeshua. They didn't recognize him. But I'm telling you, once they recognized who he was, this is Adonai Itanu. This is God with us. This is another way it's said in Isaiah 7:14, Emmanuel, God with us. With us is God, right? God with us, not just the angels. And it's not, okay, we're stronger because we have a good moral system and a good ethical code that the Bible gives us, and this is wisdom. Okay, all that's true, but that's missing the point if that's all you see this Bible for. If this Bible is just, it's a good way of life, I think I'll believe it and maybe not go to hell. You're missing the point, right? The point is God himself is with you in the boat during the storms and during the whirlwinds and during all these different things, and your eyes just need to be open to it. Okay? That's it. Your eyes just need to be open to the fact that God is with you. And then what happens? What happens? We ask the why questions. This doesn't necessarily answer the why questions. But the why questions don't necessarily need to be answered. If God is your all in all, if you are wholehearted to the Lord like Caleb was, then you don't always need to know why that storm happened. You don't always need to know why the enemy came against you. You don't always need to know why you're dying. But you need to know that the Lord is with you. Some of us, what we do is we create our own promised land, okay? And we claim it in faith. The Lord is going to do this or that for me. The Lord is going to make me rich. The Lord is going to get me that job. The Lord is going to heal me of this sickness. And we create our own promised land rather than hearing from the Lord, Lord, what is my promised land? Okay? And so we go forth in faith, or what we think is faith. We trick our minds into believing this is what the Lord wants for me and I'm going to do it. And we trick our minds into having faith, and we march up for this pretend promised land, and then nothing happens. And we're like, Lord, you let me down. Well, that's not what I called you to. Okay? That's not what I called you to. So what we have to do is we need to say, Lord, what are you calling me to? Okay? What are you calling me to? The children of Israel knew what the Lord was calling them to. And they marched through that desert. They got scared. They turned back. But they knew what their promised land was. And we need to hear from the Lord. Lord, what is your promised land for me? So that when I know that you are with me, that I'll get it. Okay? I'll get it because you are with me. And if it's not what I want it to be, it's enough, Lord, that you're with me. Okay? So our eyes need to be open to the fact that the Lord is with us, and then our hearts need to be wholehearted enough to him that that's enough. Lord, if you don't give me the promised land that I want, you don't give me the healing that I want. Does the Lord work miraculous healings? Of course he does. We've seen it. God willing, we'll see it again and again and again. I have no doubt that his desire is to miraculously heal and miraculously provide jobs and things like that. We're going to press through on these things, right? But the bigger issue is Adonai Itanu, the Lord is with us. Is that the main thing, or is that a tool to get these other promised lands, right? Lord, I had faith. You didn't heal me. And then what happens? We lose our faith because the Lord didn't do what we wanted. But if the Lord is big enough, and the Lord is our all in all, and we are wholehearted to him, a lot of times it's enough that the Lord is with me. Lord, you might never heal me of this. Paul prayed 3 times to take the affliction. Lord, take the affliction off. He prayed 3 times. It wasn't the Lord's will. The Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is going to get you through this. But for whatever reason and whatever the affliction was, the Lord did not remove it, but he gave him grace through it. Maybe that was his promised land, is to have the grace instead of the miraculous physical healing. And other times, the physical healing happened. Okay, and if that's what the Lord has promised you, you cling to that. The Lord will bring you to that. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. But is that fact that Yeshua is in the boat with you enough for you? Does that bring you comfort and peace? Or are you dissatisfied until you get what you think is your promised land? Adonai, the Lord himself, Adonai Itanu, the Lord himself is with us. Lord God Almighty, I pray that we would grab a hold of the full reality of that. The disciples knew you were in the boat, but they didn't know you were in the boat. They didn't know that the Lord himself was with them until their eyes were opened. Elisha's servant did not know that God was with them and that the armies of heaven surrounded them until his eyes were open. And the children of Israel needed their eyes open to see the Lord is with us. And Lord, this makes me tremble in fear, but also in gratitude that you are with us. We need our eyes open, not just to the fact that you are with us, but to the greatness of that fact, the awe of that fact that the creator of heaven and earth should choose to be in our midst is awesome. And it needs to be enough that we have peace in the worst storms. It needs to be enough that we have peace even when the Lord's not doing what we want him to do or what we think he should do, even when we're suffering. To understand that God is with us needs to bring us peace. Look, if God always did what we wanted him to do, God always worked it through in your timing and in my timing. God always did what we wanted when we wanted. That would be our focus, right? That would be our focus. Why does the Lord delay the healing? Why does the Lord allow the storms to happen? So that you'll understand that these things are not the focus, but that he is the focus, right? God will just become a tool for you to use to get what you want, if that's what he does all the time, give you what you want. Okay, God gives me what I want all the time. That's what God becomes, is my little servant to say, okay, God, I need this, I need that. But the focus needs to be, he is with me in the boat. If the storm gets calmed right away, praise God. But still, the main thing is he's with me in the boat. If I go through that storm for another year or 2 years, whatever it may be, the Lord is with me in the boat. So, Lord God Almighty, open our eyes and focus us in on this fact that you are with us. And that should bring us great joy and great peace, Father God. And then you will be victorious. Whatever that promised land is you're calling us to, whatever you're calling this congregation to, whatever you're calling us to in our lives and in our families, Lord God, what you are calling us to, if we remember Adonai Itanu, if we don't turn back in fear, but we remember like Joshua and Caleb did, that you are with us, we will have the victory. But first, let us be content. Let us be peaceful. And let us be in awe that the Lord is with us, Adonai Itanu.